Welcome to Pax Europiana. Now we are discussing about economics and the European economic reform. And this podcast will be about the European Digital Union and the digital internal market. And I call it the Pan-European Digital Market because we should be more united and be one digital space from Ukraine, from Georgia, the United Kingdom, even when they left. And even if Ukraine is still not in the European Union, it should be one digital system working according to the same standards. And interoperability is so important here that we really have decent governance, good governance everywhere, and decent digital services, and that we really have this potential that the digitalization gives to the society, that we really lift the European societies and everybody else also to follow this trend towards the next level of easy use, of cheap access, fast access, and also anti-corruption, that's so important in the digitalization, efficiency, lower costs, better result for the taxpayers, and also new products and new services. From the iPhone to Amazon, all these things a decade ago, they were still maybe fantasies or just at the beginning, and now they are such an important part of our reality. And this should be available for everybody in Europe, from Kosovo to Ukraine, from Norway, from the rich countries to the poorer countries. And it's a great way to leapfrog forwards towards a new level of services for the public administration and also for the consumers, for the companies. And let me say here now in 2021, I remember very well when I started as a junior advisor at that time, 15 years ago, in the Kosovo Ministry for Trade and Industry. And I had my first small speech talking about e-government. And the Secretary General of the Ministry has then took about 15 minutes to explain the very astonished friends from and the employees and the civil servants what I exactly could mean. And then gradually, I think we developed very well. And Kosovo is now a center for IT industry and really quite digital. And when I see now in 2021 Corona crisis that we have all these lacks in e-skills and all these issues with e-learning in Germany, in Austria, suddenly everything has to be digitalized and we are not prepared. Because in Europe, and especially in Austria and Germany, in Central Europe, in the richer countries, we tend to do everything like it was in the past. And we think that's exactly the good way. I have no idea why we derive this arrogance that we think that our way or the way we do it principally in all aspects is such a good thing. I don't know which part of our history makes us so arrogant, but it's somewhere deep-rooted that we think, as we have done it in the past, we should do it in the future. I don't think so. And especially in the digitalization now in this crisis, it's really very hurting, this kind of arrogance. And we're making progress. But the progress compared to other regions in the world is really very limited. Again, I talked already about public services a lot, about the digital cadastre of Macedonia. It is more transparent, more accurate, more fantastic services online than we have it in Austria and Germany in the field of land register and in some other countries. And they are improving it daily. So why can we not have similar fantastic digital land registration services? I cannot understand that. Or when it comes to the public administration reform, so many things can be done online and digitally in Austria, which cannot be done in Germany. I mean, that's really quite similar countries for all extent and purposes. History has led to two states, yeah, but that is quite similar administrative cultures, same language, some more or less similar people. So in the capacities and skills, so why is it that Germany is lagging so much behind in the digitalization of public services? I tell you the answer. It's arrogance, and because rich countries, really, they don't want to feel this pressure to use also English in the daily life. That's one thing in Germany, because it's big, and also this internal arrogance that the way to administer with paper, and like in the past, everybody has to come to the office, so I see you, and I feel you, and I tell you what to do. And this is really so wrong. It is so wrong. I cannot even explain it how wrong it is. And it's so, I lack any understanding. Now in the crisis, things are getting anyhow much better because they have to. But given that when you see, for example, the digitalization of municipalities, what is really happening in Bosnia, in Serbia, in Macedonia is often much better than the digitalization of services in the municipalities in Germany. And then I really have to ask myself, what is going wrong? Or electronic voting. In Estonia, they have it. In our countries, we everything do with the letter and the paper. I think we really have to get serious with the digitalization of public services, with all aspects of public services must be digitalized. And the concept that you have to go to a municipality from time to time, maybe to meet somebody personally because you have a friend there. Maybe you want to have a meeting and coordinate something. But for everything else, it must be possible to do it digitally. And if it's not digitally, there is something wrong. And this is the right mentality to get it done. And this should be really now, hopefully, anyhow, this is understood by most. But we still have such gaps. And we have gaps also when it comes to the e-schooling, for example. I cannot understand why not each single school class is also recorded on video and put on YouTube. It's totally fine. Who really is interested? Only the people who participate. The capacities are there by the private sector. Put a small, any iPhone can do that today. Every school child has an iPhone today, mostly, or some other kind of digital smartphone, no matter. And they can use it, and then they send it in, and then we know what the teacher says. A lot of teachers talk about the private life or do some other kind of non-related stuff or come late. Is taxpayers are not happy with that, and put it in the internet. Everybody should be, if he is performing public services, also be on YouTube. It's a repetitive thing. He anyhow has to teach what is in the, or she, what is in the curriculum. So please, I cannot understand. We always come with data and privacy protection. Yes, you know, what the private life of the teacher is has nothing to do in a school, So don't tell it in the school time. Go out and please put it in the YouTube, It's totally fine for me. And no, nothing of the private life of the teacher should be in that. But everything he is doing in a classroom, it's a public classroom. It's not a hobby. It's not a private enterprise. It's not his SME. He's teaching in the name of the state. Same for the universities, obviously. Same for all education. And then we also have better educational results, Because the children should anyhow learn digital. And then they can also see with their parents in the afternoon what exactly the teacher was explaining. And it will be a gigantic pool of knowledge forever in YouTube. And for generations, maybe some teachers can explain it better. Then you simply swift to the next class teacher or the somebody from a different city. And he is also in the same curriculum and he explains the mathematics better. Or the physics is more interesting. And then you watch, what does this teacher from Innsbruck say about that? Or the one from Darmstadt, or the one from somewhere else, from Berlin. And then it's creating a gigantic pool of knowledge available for everybody. And this is, I think, the opportunity. But we are no privacy. I don't want that. We always did it differently. Everything must be like in the past. Especially in Germany and Austria, I would be very careful with this. Everything should be like in the past. But I don't see so great pasts anywhere, to be honest. We are creating a much better future today with the help of technology, and we should be aware. Obviously, data protection is important, privacy is important, but we have to make sure where. You know, I didn't say any video live performance out of every apartment, no. And I'm totally in favor of privacy protection, but reasonable. And when you do activities in the public space, in public schools, when you teach public things, absolutely this is part of the public. You are paid by the public to perform public functions. Also, I'm in favor of video surveillance in public spaces. It's not your private hobby to destroy park benches or to do vandalism. No. It's not your private activity to be unsupervised in the roads and in the public places. Absolutely, it must be supervised. When you do something wrong, you will be punished. When you do everything okay, nobody will care to even see it. And this is not a supervision state. This is the state of law. This is the state where the ones who do something wrong, they cannot hide in anonymity. They cannot hide in, nobody will ever know I destroyed the park bench or I beat somebody up for because it's boring or he has offended me or whatever. No. What you do in the public is, and what you do in any case, yeah, when you do something criminality, but what you do in the public definitely should be with this help of the modern supervision. Absolutely, it should be in the eye of the public and it should be punished if it's punishable. And that's absolutely for sure. So I talked about digital services and digital schools, anti-corruption. Let me reiterate all this digitalization, especially when it comes about the state and the taxpayers. And here, especially about taxation on the one hand, but also about how to spend money for the government, meaning public procurement. Here we have enormous progress with the full digitalization of the procurement systems. And I cannot understand that there are still paper trails and all these things. This must be all fully digitalized and transparency must be prevailing. And we have to really ensure that success stories like in Ukraine, public procurement, this pro-Soro, pro-transparency initiative of this it was awarded by the UN as one of the best e-government projects in some years ago, 2-3 years ago. It is really, that's exactly the standard. Full digitalization of the internal administration from human resources, from employment contracts, to also the whole tenders, meaning street construction, to big military procurements, to anything the state buys. It must be digitalized, online, transparent. The processes behind it must be also digitalized. And it should be clear, ultimately, who is doing then the decision on what criteria, and this must also be digitalized and reported to. I know that many people will say, oh, that's the end of efficient corruption. But yeah, that's the idea. That's exactly the idea. Yes, e-skills. The EU had several years ago a really good initiative to promote the idea of e-skills, digital skills. Once a year in March, there was this digital skills week, e-skills weeks. Yeah, that's still very important. We see it now. Now they have stopped in 2019. Seeing everybody knows the computer. I don't have the impression that the teachers did know the computer so well, really. And that the whole concept of our digital society is not really so underlined by great digital skills. And even I learned many new things now into this crisis. So we do have to ensure that systematic learning of digital skills in schools, universities, is part of the curricula and the whole society should learn it. Everybody has to knows anyhow how to use a smartphone, and you know, if not, then also to maybe assist and teach. Yeah? But we have to make sure that also the institutions really use it and really work in that direction. It also leads to the Industry 4.0, the digitalization in the work process, in the manufacturing, in the industry. Yeah? It's something which is quite progressed already. But when I was 5-6 years there, everybody was talking about Industry 4.0 and the Internet of Things. You know, I don't see so much of this progress here. And it's when it's always described as a danger, and the danger, the loss of jobs, this fear that everything will go down and everything will be taken over by robots. And man, that's an interesting fantasy for fantasy, but for stories and for television. Yeah, it is really important to see that there will be new jobs developing. But we have to increase the skills. We have to positively tell people that this is an important skill of the future and this needs to be learned. It's also the speed of the internet. Recently on YouTube, I have actually a little bit of a mistake because I published from 2016 figures and then I was rebooked on that and then I took more research and it was about the speed of the internet, yeah. And we have made actually significantly progress in the last 4 years to 2020. But when I see the speed in South Korea, Singapore, and these mega internet societies in Southeast Asia, that's really much faster. And in Sweden, it's faster than in Austria. And you know, we have progress. Yes, we are getting better. We are getting better. Yes, it's always this kind of, yes, we are good. We are good. But compared to whom? Should we not have, I think, as the West or as Austria or as Germany or as America, the idea that we should be on the top somehow, maybe that's nationalistic, I don't want to be too arrogant here, but shouldn't we not ask ourselves when Korea or Taiwan or Singapore can do it in double speed than Vienna? Is that maybe something we should think about it? And I think yes. So also because we have a lot of rural areas in Europe. Yeah? We are not city states like Singapore and Hong Kong. I understand that argument. But especially then, let's get faster. Let's get more connected. Let's build the cables. Yeah. Recently, there was now with the corona more debt. And the first thing then many did, okay, now let's save money in digitalization and let's build less glass fiber cables, yeah? I mean, that's the wrong thing. Let's make sure that each village has its connection. Let's invest in that. I mean, we are theoretically, I think, rich societies, yeah? It must be an integrated approach. Each village must be with its glass fiber cable. I mean, this is, you know, we are 2021, we are not in the 19th century. So again, 19th century, digital taxation. Digital taxation. Yeah, the answer obviously in Europe is always when we lose out against American tech giants, then we do anti-Americanism and we do taxation against them. Yeah? But on the same time, we say, bravo, Joe Biden, it's great that you are here, because obviously nobody liked the orange clown, me included. But we are not ready then to somehow say, yes, we have to come to a common solution with America about taxation of internet companies, of these big tech giants, and we will not use this kind of success for envy, anti-Americanism, exploiting negative feelings, and do some populist jingoism, digital tax against Amazon, because Amazon destroys the local economy. And we need our Amazon, and then we do all this kind of dodgy, very expensive projects to find a new Amazon, and then it doesn't, you know, it's anyhow bent to fail, and we are just somehow making the mood with the transatlantic market much worse, because how great it would be if I could just order everything on Amazon, which also is available at the American prices for American consumers. How much better, how much richer we would all be if we would have one transatlantic digital market, yeah? And you can do, you order everything from China and they bring it now. I really cannot understand some of our policies. It's confusing. It's full of prejudice and kind of negative narratives. But one thing is sure, we can tax something. And then we tax, we make minimal revenues on the digital tax. It's minimal compared to all the other big tax sectors. And then we destroy our very important relation. We don't destroy it, but we harm our relation with America when we would do a free trade agreement and also have a digital market with America, we would be all much richer. Our products would also be on the American market much more successful. I cannot understand our thinking. Yes, let's come to the IT industry. I mentioned already this big populism against big tech, which the extreme right is now bringing, and the left was always against big companies. And now the Europeans are all feeling in this kind of underdog situation against Amazon, Facebook, and so on and so on. And that's kind of a popular thing now. And that's, of course, very unfortunate. We should have a reasonable approach to that. When there is revenues and it is also serious, then we find a common corporate tax solution for the profits derived together with our American friends. They are also interested to tax their companies, and then it has to be in a dialogue with America as part of the free trade agreement. We also should make sure that our IT industry doesn't have the feeling it's depending only on us reducing American IT companies, but let's support the IT industry, let's make sure we also have good market size in Europe that they can also develop successfully, and let's support obviously our IT industry, but not by protectionist measures, but by the digitalization of our services, yeah? And of the public information which they need, yeah, from the geo information, from all this kind of public-private partnerships in digital government, which is so important for the companies then to have access to this data and to provide great services. And there will be many, many successful European IT companies, and in fact, they are as well. And we should not harm them by hammering two, three big ones in America, wherever, you know, when there is anti-competitive behavior, the EU Commission is right to make sure that there is fines. I support that very much. Yeah. But the bigger issue for me personally is the cyber defense, which is so important. Also, digitalization depends also on IT security. And we recently lost all our battles with the Russian secret services. They have been riding, I think, now over 20 digital attacks in the last 10 years, from Estonia to the German Bundestag, yeah, this Nopetya and the Sunsail, and I don't know all these names, it's not so important to remember. But I made my own PowerPoint slide and I went through the internet to somehow find out all the cyber attacks recently in Norway, in Ukraine, in America, and the DNC hack, obviously. And it's over 20, maybe even 25 major intrusions of the Russian Secret Service in the Western IT security systems of the public, of really important institutions. Yeah? And this is a crime, and you know, but it's also a question, why are we so useless? Don't we have any kind of cyber defense? Are we somehow outperformed by the Russians? Or is it just that the politicians have not taken that serious enough and have not invested enough? I'm sure we have also capable people who know how to defend our IT systems. And if they are not, then they have to be trained or replaced. But I think it's our politicians who don't take this very seriously. And that has to change, I think. Yeah? But it will, I'm confident. Let me also mention about the issue of digital payment. Because in old terms also, there must be digital payment. This is my favorite topic since 15 years I run through Southeastern Europe and I tell about digital payments. Yeah? And of course, you know, there is great progress. Ukraine actually is much more digitalized in its payment infrastructure than Austria. People have all these Apple Pay systems, yeah? And with their credit cards. It works very fine in Austria. This is rarely used still. Huh? So this is also a sign of the success of the new technology. If you really embrace it, you can leapfrog also older economies, richer economies. By far, Ukraine is just 1/6 of our economic output per capita, but they have better digital services already. And when it comes also, at least in the payment area, but also in other areas. So digital payment is really important also to reduce informality, reduce corruption, because if money is registered and digitalized in a sense in the process of the economic circle, it always has to be documented when it has to be taken out in order to bribe officials. When it's cash, you just do cash, give it over there in an envelope and the thing is done. Yeah? So that's the problem of cash payments. So in an open, transparent society, again, with low taxes as an offer to the taxpayers, but with fair consensus, everything should be digitalized in the payment. Maybe not everything. I'm totally in favor to keep cash as an alternative for some transactions. Maybe yes. And not everything needs to be in the books. I understand that as well. But, you know, but in principle, every retail company, that's, you know, you should, why, what difference it does make? Yeah? And we have now in the crisis, now Corona, anyhow made big progress on this digitalization of payment, yeah? But given where other countries are, in China, I saw a reportage, they even can do it just with facial recognition now, the payment, yeah? Okay, then everybody will get really excited about data protection. But it's your choice if you buy there, and you can also use other methods. It's maybe very practical, and it's just one of the many signs where we are so anti-technology, anti-progress, anti-digitalization, that we are anti-progress ultimately. And then we are anti-growth, And then we say, oh, the future, we don't need growth anymore. We just need everything green. Don't get me started on that, because it's really so bad. Yeah, economic growth is good for everybody. It's also good for the environment, yeah, because richer economies take more care for the environment. And we are not exploiting the environment. We are using the natural resources for the benefit of all. And it's not only that the ultimate aim is to live in jungles and in some kind of whatever natural habitat of the past. The past was in general quite terrible, very brutal and very hard to live. Yeah, and there was no kind of golden past ever available anywhere. Never forget that, please. Yeah. So we can really improve also environment with digitalization, because we have better land use with better cadastral data. We make sure that land is better protected and better used. Yeah? So it makes a lot of sense. Also, all the environmental data, digitalize it and make it happening. This is really the way. So digitalization is a force of the good. We unfortunately are too slow to embrace it. We are again standing in our own way with our own prejudices, kind of internal socialism, visions of a greener, happier past, which are illusions, yeah, which never has been. The past was very brutal and hard. And in the past, the environmental pollution was much, much worse. Yeah, and especially in the communist countries, obviously, where there was the worst destruction. Yeah? One of my favorite topics I will talk in the next podcast about energy. When you see all the disasters which the Soviet Union has left, especially in Eastern Europe, much has to be cleaned up now by the European Union and the new member states. And the same will be left by Putin's Russia over for the West to clean up. And for the Russians, it will be a big disaster. It is a big disaster over there. Anyhow, that's so far for digitalization. I think it's a force of the good. We can embrace it. We should embrace it. We should be much faster, much better in that one, and it will transform our societies to even higher levels of prosperity and welfare, and that's very positive. So yes to digitalization, but include Ukraine, include the Balkans, make sure we have one big pan-European digital market, and it's a force of good and for good governance, and so please support it wherever you can. Thanks a lot.